Brad Locke.
And I'm Dalton Milton.
And you're listening to Prep Rally, a podcast covering high school sports in Northeast Mississippi, brought to you by the Daily Journal and DJournal.com. Boy, Dalton, the football season is just flying by, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, just... Yeah, flying by.
We're already in week two.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It's not... Okay, fine. It's not flying by yet, but, you know, it's going to be like October before you know it.
I mean, with the new thing that, you know, that you despise, week zero, I mean, we are a few weeks into it.
Yeah, which is just funny. The guys at the Banner Society came up with that, the SB Nation people, came up with week zero. And I love those guys and what they do, but, yeah, week zero, I'm not a fan of that concept. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, I get it, but whatever. It's week one. We're talking about high school football anyway, not college, so... Hey, welcome into the show. Brad and Dalton here with you on Prep Rally, coming to you every Wednesday. You can check us out on iTunes, any of your podcast apps, and we also stream online at preprally.djournal.com. We're going to talk some football today, maybe a little bit of volleyball. We'll have athletes of the week since we're school's back in session. The sports season has begun for 2019-20, and we're happy to have you. We'll try not to be too long-winded. Of course, we got a busy day today. We got to tape another episode of the DJ Prep's football preview show, which is actually a Facebook Live thing that we're doing now, but then it posts to the website. So just to let y'all know about that, Dalton and I, if you haven't seen it, we get on there and we're going to interview your coach like we did last week. Last week it was Sean Holliday of TCPS. This week it's going to be Michael Gray of Baldwin as they get ready for the Skunk Bowl against Boonville. So look for that later today, Wednesday, on Facebook Live and with the Daily Journal Facebook page. And then, of course, at djournal.com whenever John Luke McCord can get it uploaded.
Right.
Yeah, so we'll make predictions and talk about games. Good stuff. Going to talk about games here as well. Let's start with the football rewinds. Some key games from last week, Dalton. Of course, South Panola and Tupelo, big season opener for the Wave. You know, the more and more you see this Wave team, Dalton, I think the more you like them. Now, they lost this one, but it was a close one.
Mm-hmm.
What was it, 21-15?
Correct, yeah. Right. Well, you know, coming into the season, it's not that I thought they were going to be bad. It's just that there were so many new faces that I didn't know anything about them.
Right.
And then I saw them in the Jamboree against Amory, and they looked good, and I was impressed. And then I saw them last week, and even though they were lost, you know, I like them even more now because I'm sure a lot of people thought South Panola was about to go in there and just and run through them.
Yeah.
In which, you know, you could probably argue that Tupelo should have won that game. They had a couple of drop touchdowns and out-of-bounds touchdowns and just, you know, a couple –
yeah,
of little mental mistakes, and but that was really close to lose by 6 points. Jannari Dean for South Panola had a good game for them. You know, he's the Mississippi State commit. I think he's committed as a safety. He ended up with about 180-ish, 170 yards, two touchdowns. You know, and then for Tupelo, David Hayes had a great game. He ended up about 170, about 180 yards, two touchdowns for them to kind of match Dean. He actually, I think, he ended up with a little more yards than Dean, according to my stats. And
yeah,
they just yeah
stats. That's something I want to talk about. Go ahead.
Yeah, but you know, just Tupelo. They, you know, they led. They went down 7-0, and Hayes broke out this 62-yard touchdown. It was kind of like the Michael Dyer run a couple years ago in the Auburn, Oregon.
Yeah.
Where he kind of gets flipped over, and
I believe it's been 9 years since that game. Actually,
really, well, I didn't even realize that. But
I know, right?
He got flipped over, and then everybody kind of just stopped. No whistle blew, and then everyone was just like, "Keep running! What are you doing?" He did basically an entire, you know, a backflip, front flip, whatever you want to call
somersault.
It. Yeah, did a kind of a cartwheel over there, and
cartwheel,
then
yeah.
All of a sudden he's just racing to the house untouched after that. And then they kick a field goal. They go up 9-7 at halftime. Then they come out of the half and score another touchdown. They go up 15-7. Decide to go for two. They were up 8 points. Decide to go for two. They don't get it. You know, I asked Coach Hammond, you know, kind of what was the thought process. He said it was just bad math, which, you know, I get it. It happens.
Math is hard enough when you have time to think about it. If you're on the sidelines at a football game and everything going on around you, yeah. You see that a lot, too. I mean, like clock mismanagement and decisions like that. You think, oh, well, how could they do that? But then we're up here in the stands or on watching on TV and don't have everything else going on around us.
Of course.
But anyway.
Hey, it's the coach's first week of the season as well.
Yeah, he's got a bum leg. Give him a break.
Right. And, you know, the next drive, D Dean runs in, touchdown. They tied up on two-point conversion. They take the lead on the next possession. And then Tupelo had a chance at the end. They just fall a little short, about 6 yards short of the end zone. Mm. And that's for the first game. You know, they lose 20-15. They looked really good, though. So.
Yeah, Jake Ware liked him at quarterback.
Yeah, he didn't have the best stat line. He didn't throw any interceptions. That was the key thing to me. He finished about 11-25, close to, 130, 150 yards. I'm not entirely sure off the top of my head. But he looked really good. You know, there was a couple of drop passes that probably should have gone his way. That could have been a couple of touchdowns. You know, he had a Tripp Wilson had a touchdown that was called out of bounds that could have gone either way.
Yeah.
Can't really argue because, I mean, he's so fast-paced, you can kind of see it going either way. But,
right.
You know, those could have been two touchdown passes. I thought he looked really good, you know.
Yeah.
It's probably one of the best quarterback performances I've seen out of Tupelo since I've been here.
Right, right. So. Okay. Well, a promising start for Tupelo, even though it lost the game. The game I was at, Corinth visited Shannon, a matchup of two 4A teams last Friday. And, you know, Corinth is, our number five ranked large school, the only 4A school in those top five rankings, and expected to have a big year. And, you know, ended up with a 35-0 win over Shannon, although it was a blowout, but it did not start out that way. It was only 10-0 at halftime. Mm-hmm. Shannon scored in the first quarter, and then Coach Todd Lowry said he said after the game he's trying to do some other things kind of deviating from the normal MO for Corinth to see what his kids could do, and they had trouble. I mean, even though they had the ball on Shannon's end of the field, like the whole first half, only came away with 10 points. I think they started inside Shannon's 50 on 5 of 6 possessions in the first half.
Oh, wow.
And I think most of those were inside the 40 as well. Just could not punch the ball in as much as they should have. Second half, they kind of came out back to the old wing tee, run it down their throats approach, and it worked. They put up 25 points in the third quarter and ended up kind of cruising from there, and the defense really put in a good effort. Shannon's got some new faces, new quarterback, and so, you know, they're going to have some growing pains, but they do have an experienced running back in Centwali White, but he was held in check. I think he only had like 8 yards net. In fact, Shannon only had 21 total yards, net yardage. That's counting sacks, but even if you don't count the sacks, you take away those, I think Shannon still only had like 30 yards rushing.
Mm-hmm.
So Corinth did a really good job. Deshaun Brooks leading that effort up front, big defensive lineman. He played well, and of course the linebackers played well. And DT Sheffield almost had a pick on like the first possession of the game, maybe Shannon's first play. He should have had it. He should have, but it was muddy out there. Ball was slick.
I imagine he'll get some more as the season goes along.
Yeah, he will. And he did score a touchdown on offense. Of course, he plays quarterback, had a 24-yard touchdown run. Ended up with 49 yards. Corinth kind of struggled getting the running game off the ground early. But, again, the third quarter picked up and ended up with 235 yards rushing, which is still more than 100 yards below last season's average.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still pretty good. Tam Patterson, of course, he's the lead guy there at tailback. He had 82 yards and 2 touchdowns on 15 carries, and had some other guys kind of chip in. So pretty good all-around effort by the end of the day. Sheffield only threw 5 passes, completed 2. So that's about normal for Corinth. And again, the defense, I thought, played really well. Todd Lowry, before the season, talked about wanting to be more consistent on defense. They've had some good defensive performances, but they just haven't been able to do it week in and week out. And this is only, you know, week one, but, you know, this was a good start for this defense. Mm-hmm. I mean, again, Shannon has new faces, but Shannon is still going to be athletic and, you know, and tough to deal with, but they did a good job of kind of keeping them in check in all phases. So nice win there for Corinth to open the season. And then on Thursday, the night before Dalton, we had Tupelo Christian hosting Tishomingo County. First ever meeting between the schools, first time for TCPS to play a 4A school. You covered the game. I was out there for like a half, and then I went home because the heat and the bugs were just too annoying.
Mm-hmm.
And by that point, TCPS was pretty well in control. And I think the final was 45-17.
Yeah, and it was not as close as that score.
Yeah, yeah.
I watched a really good game on Friday at Tupelo and South Panola. My Thursday game I watched was not as good. You know, TCPS really just from the very start just kind of ran away with this one. It was the Kai Holiday show.
Yeah.
You know, the junior quarterback, Sean Holiday's son,
yeah,
ended up with, I think, 404 yards, total yards, and 6 touchdowns, 3 passing, 3 on the ground. And just, it just seemed like every single time he wanted to do something, he was going to get it done.
Yeah.
He had all three of his rushing touchdowns came in the first half.
Yep.
They were actually the first three touchdowns that he had. You know, that the team had, they went up 21-0. And then I think he added a passing touchdown to Noah Foster there in the second quarter. Then it was 28-10 at halftime.
It could have been more, but they ran out of clock with the ball inside mm-hmm. the five.
Yeah, I think, I'm not sure what the play call they were doing there, but you know, kind of ended up being a little fumble, and then they recovered it, and then they ran out of time. So
yeah,
they came back on the second half and just you know scored instantly again though. And the Kai Holiday Noah Foster show was working pretty well. I think Noah Foster in his first game ever. Yeah. Had 190 receiving yards, two touchdowns.
Yeah, he's a junior. Mm-hmm. A good baseball player, but has never played varsity football.
Right.
And, yeah, he showed out. I mean, he's a good athlete, good speed. Mm-hmm. And he showed it. That's math is hard, like I said. That's about, what, 40 – how many yards is that per catch? 4 for 190. 45-ish?
Yeah, around there.
48?
Mm-hmm.
See, it's hard to do math yeah. when you're on the spot.
It's 47 and a half.
There you go.
47 and a half.
Good job, Dalton.
I mean, that connection worked well. Noah Foster actually had another long touchdown. It was like, you know, 50, 60 yards that got called back.
Oh, so, that's right. He did, yeah.
They looked really good. Kai Holiday looked fantastic. You know, it was his birthday the day that he did all this. And they just ran past Tisch County. You know,
and did it without Josh Berry, their lead tailback, who's going to be out for a few weeks with a broken collarbone. So
yeah, they actually didn't really run with a running back at all. I think they only had, outside of Kai Holiday, they only had two or three rush attempts from other players. They kind of went empty backfield with just him back there and let him do his thing.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, they ran the full spread quite a bit, mm-hmm. the four or five wideouts, and it worked for them. So there's your football rewind for week one. I know we mentioned math and stats and all that. I don't know if it's a Max Preps is having an issue. I know at least one coach has told me his stats aren't up because of an issue with Max Preps, but some stats that are up are not correct. Like, for instance, your stats on Tupelo's game.
Mm-hmm.
The whatever's on Max Preps is not even remotely close to what you have.
Yeah, and you know,
I don't think you're that far off.
And see, the way I look at it is I took stats Thursday and Friday.
Yes.
And on Thursday, as I walked the sidelines,
uh-huh.
I had the exact stats correct, offensive stats for the Tisch County TCPS game. And then for Tupelo South Panola, I sat in the press box and actually could pay attention and do nothing but that. And my stats were completely different than everyone else's. I know South Panola, they gave Gennari Dean about 60 more yards rushing than I had
mm-hmm.
on about 50, 60 yards rushing. And, you know, I had about 170, 160 something. They had him for about 220 something, 230 something. And they gave him an extra carry than I had. So, I mean, unless I missed a 50, 60 yard rush, I mean, I don't think I did, but.
Yeah. And didn't they also.
They added
added interceptions.
Yeah, there was like an interception and a forced fumble on there where they did not – Jake Ware for Tupelo did not throw an interception. Tupelo did not have a turnover at all, I don't believe, besides turnover on downs.
Yeah, yeah. They've got him here with an interception.
So
– by Gillespie, number three. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Yeah, either they're making up stats or something gone wrong with the stat keeping or the input. Now, one thing I've noticed, I know a lot of these teams use Huddle as well
mm-hmm.
For videos and such, and I believe Huddle, I'm not sure if Huddle is the one that also does the stats for them, but I've noticed that on the videos I watched several this past week, Huddle can't even get the final score right.
Mm-hmm.
And they get yardage wrong on some of the touchdowns. And it's just, I don't know if they're understaffed or what, but if they're the ones doing the stats, that would explain something.
Yeah. Well, I'm not trying to take a shot at, you know, South Panola coaching staff say that they're not
right.
doing it right, but it's just.
Because we don't know what the problem is.
Mm-hmm. But you know, I'm just saying some stats from that Tupelo, and Tupelo's stats were a little higher than what I expected, which, than what I had, but they also had, you know, a couple more rush attempts than what I had. You know, they took a couple off some other players. I'm not sure if they just couldn't see the numbers correctly, or maybe I couldn't see the numbers correctly. I'm not sure. But, you know, those stats were a lot different than ones I take. And I kind of, you know, I pride myself up there that I do pretty accurate stats,
yeah,
you know, within at least a few yards, not 50 or 60.
Yeah. So I don't know what the issue is there, but hopefully it gets resolved. I mean, we've always known, like, that tackle stats tend to get inflated by certain teams. But offensive stats, you'd like to think you can count on them being correct. So whatever the problem is, I hope it gets fixed. by everybody involved. Okay, sorry, rant over. Let's look ahead to some key games this week. Dalton got a big top three matchup, Oxford at Starkville, as they call it, the Little Egg Bowl, whatever. Two very good teams, two good 6A teams in different divisions. Starkville, I would say, is a favorite this year to win in 6A, but they just lost their season opener to Brandon.
Also Brandon, 27-21.
So, you know, they're beatable, but can Oxford beat them? I don't know.
Yeah. Well, you know, Oxford won their opener against Willis Rankin, what, 43-7?
Yeah, it wasn't even close.
Which I was looking at stats this morning. They didn't really – the stats to point ratio was odd to me. I think they only had about 260, 270 offensive yards and 43 points. So I'm guessing they got some short fields to work with.
Yeah.
And then Starkville just – you know, they went to Brandon the opening week. You know, Brandon was also – you know, I think Starkville was ranked number one in the state across, you know, by a bunch of different, you know, publications. And
yeah.
And then Brandon was ranked three. So, I mean, Brandon beats them at home, 27-21. Now Starkville comes back, and they get Oxford at home. I mean, imagine this one. You know, I think it might go a little different for Starkville.
Yeah, I would say they're the favorite this time. And that's one of the games we'll be picking, by the way, on the DJ Preps football preview show later. We'll be making predictions.
Yeah, and Oxford has a really good team. You know, J.J. Pegues, John Marr over there, Byron Pearson. They got a lot of big names, but – you know, I imagine the start will, you know, when I talked to Chris Jones, he said that he can kind of focus, when you can focus on one player that kind of does everything, they just kind of have to keep an eye on him, find out where he's at, game plan around him. Because, I mean, Pegues is going to line up at, you know, maybe a little bit of quarterback, running back, tight end, receiver, you know, defensive line. They're just going to have to imagine it's going to be kind of, you know, people key on the quarterback, they're just going to key on him the entire game.
Right. The matchup I love here is Luke Altmaier, the Starkville quarterback, against that Oxford pass defense. Oxford made 18 interceptions last year. You mentioned Pearson, he had 7. Everyone who had an interception last season is back for Oxford. So they got all 18 of those picks back. Altmaier does not throw many picks. I think he threw 4 last year, and I looked it up, in 314 career pass attempts, 6 picks. So it's pretty good.
Yeah, which I actually you know, asked Chris Jones about that this morning whenever I talked to him, and he said that the thing that Altmaier does so well is that he does not lock onto one receiver, which is what you see a lot of high school kids do. They just they lock on, you know, you have one really good receiver, they lock on to him the whole time. That's how the picks end up. But he does, you know, he's going to be a college guy. You know, he's progressed a little more than, you know, a lot of kids in the area. And he looks around and apparently just does not, you know, he knows what he's doing back there. And that's the reason why he doesn't throw very many picks, you know, despite the fact that he throws a, a good great pass.
All right, so Oxford or Starkville, another game to look at. West Point at Louisville. We got a matchup of state champs again. West Point last week facing reigning 6A champ Horn Lake and winning handily. I think it was 34-6. If I remember correctly.
It was.
Yeah, and then Louisville is the reigning 4A champ. And so West Point, which has won 3 straight in 5A, is going to go to Louisville on the road again, as Willie Nelson would say, and going to try to see what they can do to see maybe if they can improve to 2-0. And, you know, West Point, I would say, is the favorite. Don't know a lot about Louisville except that they lost to Noxubee County last week. Wake Forest, 2-0.
2-0.
Wow. I can't decide if that's better or worse than 3-2, which the game, which was a game that I witnessed and will never forget. Auburn.
I'm just glad I didn't witness either one of those games.
Yeah,
so.
So West Point last week against Horn Lake ran the ball about like you would expect them to. Dontarius Cannon and Brandon Harris doing a good job, and you know, the defense is going to do what that defense does, and they're going to shut you down. And so Horn Lake, I don't think is as good as last year. They lost some really, really good players,
right?
But I still think that's a good team. You beat them on the road. That's a good sign for West Point.
And plus, they do have 2 SEC kids on that defense that, you know, are supposed to anchor it this year. A couple of them did last year, and you know, I mean, they Brandon Harris and Dontarius Cannon ran down their throats. You know, I think they both ended up with over 100 yards, and you know, Louisville does not have those kids that that had last year. I think they had 2 SEC kids on the defense last year. Those 2 kids are gone. You know, imagine West Point's going to have success running the ball against them again, especially if, you know, the weather isn't as bad as it was last week, which I haven't looked at.
I think we're supposed to be okay as far as the rain this weekend. All right, one more game to look at. The Skunk Bowl, Baldwin at Boonville, playing that one at Boonville, of course, at Northeast Mississippi Community College's field, and which I like because they have a nice press box I can sit in. That's the game I'll be at. Boonville won really handily last year. I think it was 48-0 or something like that. I think this game will be closer. Now, I don't know if Baldwin can win, but I think Baldwin is improved, coming off a tough season-opening loss to Kossuth, 34-33 last week. Boonville won over Moorville, 32-20, a game that was maybe a little closer than you might expect. Boonville, they got some playmakers. Of course, John Daniel Deaton at quarterback. Davian Price is a good athlete. Got some good players on defense like Armani Grizzard. Grizzard, however you say it. Yeah, I don't know. But Baldwin looks like it's going to be better this year.
I would agree. I mean, you look at just from the just looking at the non-division games from Baldwin's schedule last year. I don't have it in front of me. I'm pretty sure last year they were held scoreless, or they were held to like 6 or 12 points in like the first four games total. If I'm not mistaken, they did not score very much.
I can probably look that up, but yeah, they definitely had a better offensive performance last week than they had a lot of times last year. Baldwin last year, I mean, yeah, they got shut out their first two games to New Albany and Boonville, then they scored 19 in a loss to Kossuth, and they only scored 2 against Nettleton and shut out by Saltillo, and then 7 against North Pontotoc.
Yeah, so 28 points in 6 games. You know, they did that more. They did more than that in the first game of the season. So I'd say they definitely improved. But. You know, I would think that Boonville is a little better than Kossuth this year. I know Kossuth lost a lot. Boonville returned so much off that team from last year that went 11-1.
Right.
And I mean,
yeah. I would
see how those two match up.
I would say Boonville's probably the favorite, but you know, don't count out Michael Gray and Baldwin because they were down last year. But Baldwin, when it's down, is not usually down for long.
Right.
And so hopefully we'll have a good game there. Man, we're running long here, Dalton. Real quick, going to hit volleyball. I was out at Tupelo last night. They opened division play against Olive Branch, a team that coming in was winless and still is because Tupelo won 3-1. But Olive Branch played them really tough. All four sets were close. And actually, Tupelo had a match point twice in the third set, but Olive Branch ended up winning that set, like 27-25. And then Tupelo came back and finally kind of got its feet back under it there in the final, or rather in the fourth set, which became the final set to win it. And good games by a lot of different players. Maggie Griggs had 15 kills. Lexi Freeman, I think, had 9 kills. Mallory Peters played well. And so really just Laurie Bishop very pleased with her team to get a win against Olive Branch, which plays very good defense. They're very good at keeping the ball in play and getting it up in the air and returning it. And so they made Tupelo work. Even though it was 3-1, it was pretty much a tight affair the whole way through. So good win for Tupelo to open division play. Okay, let's move on real quick to Athletes of the Week. We do this every week. We honor a male and female athlete for their accomplishments. Female Athlete of the Week, Mia Card, or maybe it's Maya Card. I've got to work on my name pronunciations before next show. Anyway, she runs cross-country for Baldwin, just an eighth grader, but last week at the season-opening Myrtle Invitational, young Miss Card won the 1A-3A race, 1A-3-3A race, with a time of 20 minutes, 50.96 seconds. She started making some noise on the scene last year, Dalton, and she'll continue to be, I think, a big factor now in 1A because she's with Baldwin 2A last year. Now they're in 1A. So look out for her. Male Athlete of the Week, Ike Chandler, the running back for Itawamba AHS. 16 carries, 276 yards. That's 17.3 yards per carry. It's not bad.
Not at all. I'd take it.
Mr. 2,000 yards from last year. He had 5 touchdowns as well in a 46-28 win over Amory to open the season. So congrats to those two athletes of the week. And that is all the time we have for this episode of Prep Rally. Thank you all for joining us. We come to you every Wednesday. You can find us on iTunes, any of your podcast apps, or online at preprally.djournal.com. Follow us on Twitter at djournalpreps. Dalton's on there as well at dlmiddleton8. And I'm on there at Brad Locke. Okay, thanks for sticking with us. We will see y'all next week.